Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast.
In the air, center field. Rojas going back near the wall. The ball's gone! Cooper Hummel! 1-0 Astros! Breaks the pitcher's duel here in the eighth.
How about it, Cooper Hummel? Got that Oppo-type juice going the other way.
Ha! It seemed like Blum wanted to say Oppo Taco there, but I wonder if he's been getting any heat from people saying Oppo Taco sounds a little weird.
But Oppo Taco's become just standard terminology. It's not like one of his cute little words or
anything. Sounded like he paused, though, right before. He's like, kind of Oppo-type stuff going on right there.
Maybe he came up with a pun because he loves his little catchphrases and puns and everything for players. Maybe he's been workshopping something for Cole. For Hummel, and he didn't really didn't feel comfortable with it yet.
Maybe. Yeah. He just
bailed out of the triple Lindy.
Yeah.
Because he just like, all right, no, I'm going to hit the water hard. I got to
get back in the weight room. I got to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
That was Todd Callis and Jeff Blum on the call, Space City Home Network. Cooper Hummel with a home run last night. That was the only run of the game that you heard right there. And the Astros find a way to win again, 1-0. Framber Valdez, excellent last night, 7 shutout innings. A little shaky early. But 92 pitches over 7 innings, pretty economical. No runs, that's the most important thing. And the Astros continue to get contributions by up and down the line. Not last night so much, they only scored 1 run. But on the aggregate here, especially in the month of June, contributions up and down the lineup. Here's Joe Espada on Cooper Hummel, Mauricio Dubon, and others.
I don't think we're gauging anything. We are getting ready to play whoever we play. It's exciting when first place teams come in here. You feel the fan. You feel like it's kind of a playoff atmosphere. But we're just getting ready to play whoever.
Yeah, Espada's doing a great job, man. He is doing an excellent
really
job.
He really is, and it's also, I mean, last year I thought he was getting a lot of criticism for things that were beyond his control during the first half of the season or the first third of a season when things were really bad.
Yeah.
You can't blame Espada for the pitchers being as bad in 2024 as they were to start the season. That this year you can see, man, for whatever you have a quibble with them about lineups or what have you, they just flat out keep winning baseball games where they have – they have no business winning these games if you just look at it on paper.
Yeah.
They've done a great job managing all of this.
And I think he maybe waited a little too long to move Christian Walker down in the lineup. I thought he maybe gave him a little too much rope, but moving Jeremy Peña to the leadoff spot has been one of the best moves made by an Astros manager relative to the lineup over the last several years. I mean, that's turned Peña into an elite all-star caliber offensive player at shortstop.
It was, last year part of it, though, too, was you had the combined aspect of Beltran playing, Jose Abreu playing as bad as he was, and then watching the manager get up and talk about him in gushing terms.
Yeah.
And it was hard. That was hard as the team also wasn't having success. Then this year you don't have any awkward situations like that. It doesn't feel like there's anybody shoehorned onto this team.
No. Like Christian Walker hasn't played well, but I think people understand why he's playing every day, he's in the lineup. Like, I get it. We just need him to play better. So Espada, I think, man, has done a great job. I need to see some Manager of the Year odds come out here and see what the betting community thinks. We talked a lot yesterday about Jeremy Peña signing with Scott Boras and kind of sifting through the history, at least a couple chapters with Scott Boras that we've had to deal with. Now, the Jose Altuve one has worked out very well. Jose Altuve will be a lifetime Astro. Scott Boras is his agent. Others, it's not worked out quite as well. Matt Young had the list of recent Boras clients that the Astros have done business with, and it's really interesting, and I'm curious where we think Peña ends up falling on the scale of these guys. The first one on the list is Carlos Beltran,
okay,
who was a Boras client back the first go-around with the Astros, and it turned into one of the most acrimonious relationships between the fans, the team itself and a former player, maybe the most that we've seen in the history of the team.
I think for all of the guff that Boris gets, I think a lot of it is misplaced because ultimately he's just, he's like a divorce. He's like your wife leaving you and she hires a good divorce attorney. Yeah, you're going to be mad at the divorce attorney, but he's just doing his job. It's your wife who decided to leave you. With Boris, the Carlos Beltran scenario is the one where I look at it and it just feels like, oh, you shady agent.
Yeah.
Well, oh, wait a second. You strung the Astros along, and then all of a sudden he's gone anyway. If Beltran was traded for in the middle of that season, if he had just left at the end, by and large, people wouldn't have been mad at Beltran. It was the way he went about it and doing it in alliance with Scott Boris. That's what I think really cemented Boris being the big B word in their minds.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. The article reminds us that Drayton McClain, at the time the owner of the Astros, said he wouldn't do business with any more Scott Boris clients. That's a dicey thing. You're not going to have a very good baseball team if you go anti-Boris, full anti-Boris.
Such a behind-the-scenes type of deal maker and being able to engineer where guys go, you have to.
Yeah, I don't think we'll end up feeling as a fan base the same way about Jeremy Peña as we did about the Carlos Beltran situation. The Astros themselves and Astro fans felt duped and lied to in that whole thing. Jose Altuve, we talked about Alex Bregman, Boris, a Bregman and Boris client.
Yeah. Altuve, to point out that Altuve signed two extensions with Boris as his client.
Yeah, yeah.
Except the more every time an Astros player now signs with Scott Boris and then leaves in free agency, it's getting harder and harder for me to point out to everybody, hey, remember Altuve?
Yeah.
Altuve is a Boris client. He signed an extension. It's becoming conspicuous by how Altuve's and McCullers also, but mostly Altuve is the guy that you really wanted who did sign an extension.
Yeah, Altuve will always illustrate the point that you make, Seth, and that we make, which is the agent works for the player. The fact of the matter is, most players are just as greedy as the agents are. Like, that's the thing. It's, you know, a lot of people position it as a Boris thing. And Boris may very well recommend to his clients that they hit free agency because that's where you're going to get the most money.
Yeah.
But the players are just as greedy as the agent. And I'm not saying that with any level of disdain. Like, you should be. Like, you should try to get as much as you possibly
greedy
can.
Greedy in a classic American capitalistic type of way. Not bad greedy. Just, you know, enough greedy.
Enough greedy. Yeah, yeah. Correa was a Boris agent. I had forgotten about this, though. He hired Boris during the lockout. Remember, Carlos had like a Hollywood agency handling his stuff until he hit free agency, the lockout hit, and then he switched to Boris as his agent, and then the lockout ended, and Boris came back, got him that original 3-year deal with the opt-out with the Twins, got him a couple massive deals with the Giants and the Mets that both got squashed because of medicals, and then I thought went back and got him a pretty good deal for someone who just got rejected by two MLB teams because of a leg issue. He got 6 years, $200 million that he's not lived up to at all in Minnesota so far.
Right, right.
By Boris.
Yeah, and as much as the people in Minneapolis despise you, Sean Pendergast, because of your antics at Twins games, it would be interesting to listen in and see how they feel about Carlos Correa. Because Carlos, it was basically like, hey, I'm back. I love Minnesota.
Right.
After two other teams rejected me. They can't have felt awesome about that to begin with. And then he hasn't held up his end of the bargain.
He hasn't. And they don't operate on the same budget that even a team like the Astros operates on. So I think people maybe forgot or blocked out this one. I know I had. Gerrit Cole, not just a Scott Boris client, but was actually wearing Scott Boris gear on his head after Game 7 of the World Series in 2019.
As a
representative of himself.
In which he actually, you know, he made sure to point out as he did was about to do the interview that he wasn't actually an Astros employee
right,
anymore.
Not anymore.
Thank you. I cannot distance myself from this failure as much as possible, yes.
Oh, my God. There's some other ones on here that are fun. Yusei Kikuchi, we don't need to dig too deep on that. He was a Boris client. Boris got him a lot of money from the Angels. This offseason. He was Mark Appel. Remember Mark Appel, the first pick in the draft back in 2013?
Oh, yeah.
He barely made it to the big leagues. He was a Boris client. You mentioned McCullers. Dallas Keuchel is an interesting one because Dallas Keuchel was great as an Astro. He was one of the faces of the first Astro World Series championship team.
Integral part in bringing in Justin Verlander.
A huge part, yeah. He sold Justin Verlander on coming to Houston during Hurricane Harvey. And then, I don't know who gets the finger pointed at him for how it worked out for Keuchel in free agency, but he got almost no interest in free agency coming out of the 2018 season into 2019 to where he had to sign a one-year prove-it deal with the Braves in June. Yeah. And then he ultimately got a three-year pretty good deal from the White Sox, and then ultimately that was kind of his demise. He's been in and out of the major leagues since then, but I would say for Scott Boras, like, he probably doesn't present Dallas. If he's trying to sell somebody on signing with him to be their agent, I'm guessing there's not a Dallas Keuchel slide on the PowerPoint, probably.
Keuchel's an interesting one just because I think one of the values of having a guy like Scott Boras as your agent is that, in theory, he should be pretty informed on exactly what's going to be out there for you. Like, what are the numbers that teams are willing to pay? Boras has a pretty good feel and or inside intel on a lot of that. And with Keuchel, I wonder just what did he told Keuchel? Yeah. Like, oh, no, you're about to get the big money?
Yeah.
Or did Keuchel have a realistic idea of what it was? Or did it, because, I mean, that was pretty much the interest level in Dallas Keuchel from that point forward was about that same level.
Yeah.
Nobody was desperate to have him on their team.
There was definitely a disconnect somewhere. You don't sign in June if there's not a disconnect somewhere.
Well, part of it, I mean, they raised the strike zone a couple inches, and that was where Keuchel lived, was at the bottom of the strike zone. So they kind of squeezed him out just by virtue of the way they called the strikes.
And he was a year removed from being great when he hit free agency. He was great in 20. He was obviously great the year he won the Cy Young in 2015. He was great again in 2017. He made the All-Star team and was obviously part of that rotation that won the World Series. And then in 2018, which may have been about the time they did with what the, you know, they raised the strike zone, like you said, Seth. I think he was 14-13 that year. He had a kind of a middling ERA. Like, he was fine. He was an innings eater for a team that made a play. You know, made it to the ALCS that year. But he was not the same Keuchel that he'd been in his two fantastic seasons that he'd had a couple of years before that. And then Marwin Gonzalez was a Boras client. It got him to cash in on.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nobody cashed in bigger on the trash can scandal than Marwin Gonzalez. 90 RBIs in 2017. All the splits say that he was a completely different player that year with the trash cans than any other year. Signs a two-year, $20 million deal with the Twins and then falls off the map.
He should be working for the CIA.
Yeah.
Because he was, and all the really in-depth breakdowns they did, the hardcore statistical analysis, it was Marwin and one other player, I can't remember who it was. There were only two guys where it looked like it actually benefited them.
Yeah.
By the end of when they were doing it, it was actually harming a lot of guys because they were leaning too much into it or they'd form tendencies. So, but Marwin, good for you, Marwin. A man, a perfect place, perfect time.
I don't know that Pena's journey to free agency looks like any of these guys. Like, Bregman and Correa got three-year short-term deals. I think Pena, if he plays like this at a premium position, still at age 30, I think he's going to get, he could get a 6 or 7 year deal, something like that. I don't think he's going to get tippy top of the market. Like, Gerrit Cole is still the highest paid pitcher in baseball. 5 years later, nobody's got more money than Gerrit Cole as a pitcher. I don't think he's that. And I certainly don't think he's any of these guys that only got like Marwin or Dallas Keuchel. Pena might be the first guy that Boras has with the – well, and Carlos Beltran got a big, nice long-term deal, but I don't think there's going to be the acrimony that there was with Carlos Beltran. Pena may be the first guy that leaves here as a Boras client and actually gets the conventional contract that he's expecting to get in free agency.
There's a bunch of really good shortstops this year in Major League Baseball all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And Pena's amongst the very best of them. But depending on what the market is when he hits free agency or when he has that leverage, that'll be interesting.
Yep, sure will. Sure will.
What about Kyle? Can we look in on Kyle Tucker a little bit and dream about what he might or might not
Here's do? John Heyman of MLB.com or MLB TV. He talked about this earlier this week. Kyle Tucker's future, what the market's looking like for Kyle Tucker.
He's not a pitcher. There's no risk. He was a number five overall pick. He's made a lot of money. He is one of the most, if not the most, consistent hitter in baseball. So it's going to be very difficult. But the Cubs are, you know, it's a big market team. They're doing very well. They need to give it a try. That said, once the guy's a free agent, he's only been there a year. There are going to be other teams in there. Never count the San Francisco Giants at this point. They look like an aggressive team, as we've seen. And the Red Sox. Now, the Red Sox have a lot of outfielders, but we've heard of Durant potentially on the market. They would be a possibility as well, because they do need to do something to make up for Devin.
That would be amazing. If Kyle Tucker ended up signing a big deal with the Red Sox, and they still suck the same way Bregman's having to experience right now. That would be fun.
I mean, the whole with the Cubs, it's important to remember as we prepare for a series against the Cubs, the NL Central is really, really tight right now.
Yeah.
They've got three teams between 44 and 46 wins. The Cubs have 46 wins, and then the Brewers and the Cardinals both have 44 wins. The Reds are 42 and 38. So that's
stout. You know,
the standard for a Cubs fan, I would imagine, is, man, you better make a really serious World Series push here if you're only going to give us Kyle Tucker for 1 year.
Yep.
And then Cam Smith and Paredes are playing the way they're playing. If they could sweep this, that's all I ask. I just want them to sweep
You want them to sweep the team that's in first place in the hardest division in baseball.
I want them to knock the Cubs down into fourth place in the division.
Yeah.
And at the same time, that's not quite possible. Third place in the division.
Okay.
And then I also want that. Well, it could be possible by the time they play. But then I also just, this is all I need is, what did we say? 7 combined home runs out of Paredes and Cam Smith.
You said 9 earlier. You've softened on that. You wanted 9 earlier in the show.
It's a 4-game series?
It's a 3-game series.
Oh, that's right. That's why we tweaked it. Okay, that's 7. 7. That's all I asked. 7 home runs out of those.
Okay, 7 home runs.
Oh, and Kyle Tucker to go over.
That's all you're asking for.
That's all I'm asking.
Okay, I don't think that's a
big ask.
Can
you give me this, Astros,
please? I think that's a big ask. Not sure if anybody knew this, but the NBA draft is tonight. I know people know this. I know the NBA draft. I used to love the NBA draft. Now it's just something on the calendar. I'm lukewarm on the NBA draft tonight, but this might get me to watch. I saw something on the internet last night, and you're going to hear it in a minute. This might get me to watch the NBA draft tonight. We will have that for you. I'm going to watch it, but we might get you to watch it. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.